In a normal court of law, you're allowed access to the evidence against you when you've been accused of a crime. You're allowed an impartial judicial system where either party is treated equally without any doubt or belief being automatically assigned to either party. Everybody's treated equally. You're also allowed to have a conviction, if recorded against you, being recorded on the absence of any reasonable doubt. But that's not the case when you're accused of a sexual crime at universities. It's the case that you're not allowed access to the evidence, that the person who's making the complaint about you is automatically believed, and that they don't have to find against you beyond any reasonable doubt, but just on the balance of probabilities. But there's actually been a change to that with a ruling in the Supreme Court. Bettina Arndt has written about that in this week's Spectator, and she joins us in this episode of Pillow Talk to go into all the details.
I'm an anti-feminist because I think it's oppressive, I think it's anti-male, I think it's anti-femininity.
Now, it may be a very weak Brexit, but I'll tell you what, Brexit of any kind and leaving those treaties as well.
That's the best ever interview. With Michael Parkinson, you got nothing on this book.
Welcome to Pillow Talk. I'm Dave Pellow, and joining me today is Bettina Arndt. Bettina, thanks for joining Pillow Talk.
Nice to see you, Dave.
And we've got some great news. I enjoyed reading the results that occasionally the activist judiciary will give us an outcome that common sense demands. And in this case, it seems that justice has been achieved. How far do you think this can go? First, why don't you tell us about the case and the decision?
Yes, this is in the Queensland Supreme Court. And it involved a case, University of Queensland, medical student accused of sexual assault by another student. I'm not interested in going into the details of the case. I think one of the things that's been happening all this week and reporting on this case is they keep repeating the accusations, which are only accusations against this student, with no reporting whatsoever of what he had to say about the actual event, which is just typical. Anyway, but what
is
happened?
Is it fair to assume he denied the accusations?
Oh, of course, yes. Mm-hmm. And he's gone, but he essentially, his lawyer, rather than argue the case, because as you said, in universities, in fact, lawyers aren't allowed in to argue the case. His lawyer has taken the Wendy Mulcahy, a Brisbane lawyer, has taken this to the Queensland Supreme Court and argued that universities have no jurisdiction over sexual assault cases, which of course are part of our criminal law, which are required to be adjudicated in our criminal system. And Wendy Mulcahy won on behalf of the student, which is
awesome.
Fantastic news.
Yes.
So she's determined that it's a really much, very much a landmark judgment, putting our universities on notice that what they are doing around Australia is something that's illegal. Across Australia, universities have set up regulations to adjudicate rape in a campus setting using secretive committees. Committees, we often don't even know who's on these committees. There's no oversight of these committees. No one has any idea what sort of rulings they're making. No one is keeping tabs on what's going on here. It's a secret alternative justice system. Making judgments about young men all over the country where they're not provided, as you said, they're not provided with lawyers. The judgments are made on the balance of probabilities. All the normal legal protections that are available in our criminal system are denied them. The investigation is done by people with no competency. I mean, we have a criminal law system where whether you think they're doing a good job or not, the police are trained to investigate these cases. And of course now, I mean, they weren't always, I think, as careful as they should be in doing these investigations. Now, of course, they bend over backwards to make sure that particularly the alleged victim has everything working for her in terms of investigation of the case, and every opportunity to be supportive and so on. Well, in this university system, There is not a single word in most of the regulations around Australia talking about protecting the rights of the accused. And I've got involved in a number of these cases. I first got involved years ago with a PhD student in Adelaide who came to me saying he was being investigated by one of these student committees, and he had been told he had to appear in front of them, this committee, you know, on a particular day. And I got a criminal barrister to help ward off this committee, who told him he had no obligation whatsoever to go near that committee. They had no right to make a determination about this, this case. But that committee had the right to withhold that boy's PhD. And it was 7 months of battle where we went and had letters back and forth, trying to get details of the accusation, trying to get the basic things you would expect in a criminal case. And eventually then the general counsel of the university came charging in and backed off and said, we have to offer full protection for all legal rights to the accused, and we're going to give him the details of the accusation and so on. And eventually the university dropped out of that case. But that's, I'm sure that wouldn't have happened if he didn't have all these people batting for him. And there are, I've got half a dozen cases I know about where young men were thrown out of university. They often didn't even tell their parents what was going on. Because they're too embarrassed, ashamed, frightened about what's happening to them. And the universities are making these decisions on. I know someone whose degree was withheld for a whole year by the university after
That's extortion.
It is. And well, this is the interesting issue. We have a criminal justice system with penalties in place, serious penalties for sexual assault. They don't include stealing someone's degree. They don't include taking the, what is it, tens or maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars that degree costs that person, stealing
and their,
that.
And their whole career that results from that if they're near the end of their training.
And trashing their reputation, all of that. And we have nothing about that in our criminal justice system. So this is a double jeopardy situation where the university thinks they can impose this penalty out of the blue with no one, no oversight of the whole system.
Yeah.
What's fascinating about all of this is it all developed, I mean, it's all come as a result of lobbying by the feminist activist groups trying to get universities involved in adjudicating rape cases.
The feminarchy.
Absolutely, because they think that our criminal justice system doesn't convict enough young men, particularly in date rape situations when the jury is presented with a he said, she said case and doesn't know who to believe. Often our very sensible juries won't necessarily believe the woman over the man. They'll judge the, they'll have weigh the evidence for themselves. And of course, the feminists think this is outrageous, and all these young men, you know, are obviously guilty, and the woman is always innocent. And so that's what this push is all about. That's why they're trying to get these cases dealt with at our universities. This happened in America nearly a decade ago, where Obama required all publicly funded universities to set up tribunals to adjudicate rape, the same sort of thing, on the balance of probabilities, no legal protections for young men. In America, there have been over 200 cases where universities have been sued for failure to protect the accused's legal rights. And the Trump administration is now intervening and requiring more protection in this situation.
Do you think Scott Morrison should intervene? Should there be state government or federal government intervention to stop these kangaroo courts?
Yeah, both. I think I have people in the federal government who are interested in stopping this from happening, and I'm talking to them. There are people in the state government. Mark Latham, for one, is very actively involved in pursuing this issue because, of course, universities are state-funded. And so, you know, it's very important that the state governments get involved in this as well. But we now have this legal case which is saying emphatically, get out of this territory, that you know, that this is not something that is appropriate for the universities to be involved in. That the judgment also noticed the failure to protect the accused's legal rights. Many aspects of that judgment were extremely important. And I think it gives a peg to hang this on, this battle against what the universities are doing. And I'm very keen. I have the judgment available. If anyone wants to see it, I'll send it. People write to me, care of my website, I'll send it to you. I want people with contacts in universities across Australia to talk to administrators, to talk to members of the law departments to ask, why is this happening? And particularly, how can this happen now that we have a judgment saying this is illegal?
Yeah, it's very interesting. You always need a focus point, a flashpoint to rally around in a battle, because this is a entrenched injustice in our society.
Yeah.
But it's hard to start a petition or a letter about any case in particular.
Oh,
It's random. It's rare for somebody to write to a university and say, "Hey, I think the presence of these tribunals is unjust, and you should get rid of them."
Well, we're working on other fronts as well. Amanda Stoker, wonderful Queensland senator, a few weeks ago grilled TEXA. Now, TEXA is our university regulator.
Yes,
they have authority to determine whether our universities are behaving themselves, if you like, and. Amazingly, TEXA is one of the key bodies which is to blame for this whole mess. TEXA was lent on by the feminists to do more about sexual assault and harassment. What does do more mean? It means get involved in the business of deciding these cases, according to the feminists. And so what does TEXA do? They send out a notice to all universities saying they should do more about sexual I've talked to senior administrators who say we interpreted that as saying we should be setting up regulations to adjudicate this stuff and be doing it ourselves, which is an extraordinary leap, if you ask me.
Yeah.
But what Amanda Stoker did, so in Senate Estimates Committee a few weeks ago, she grilled these TEXA administrators about, you know, how is this possible? How is this possible you'll set up the system which doesn't have a single word about the rights of the accused?
Yep.
You know, what are you doing in this territory? And you've never seen anyone, I've got that on my website if people would like to watch that. Because what's fascinating is these bureaucrats squirming because no one had ever pointed out to them what crazy territory they were getting into.
Yeah.
And the fact that this whole system has cost the American higher education sector an absolute fortune.
Mm.
And yet we're going down the same road in Australia.
And that's going to come on the taxpayers' pockets because our universities are taxpayer funded.
Yeah. And rightly, those universities will be sued. And particularly now that there's a legal judgment showing that what they're doing is illegal.
Yeah.
Absolutely sets up a case for the next young man who's wrongly accused to say, you have no right to make a judgment in this case.
Yeah, that's right. And unfortunately, when the university does get sued, the only person that's actually paying is you and I. The taxpayers who fund this are the people paying the penalty for the administrators' poor choices. It should be their pockets and their careers which are affected by their incompetence in administration.
Yep. I just want to draw attention to the fact that, of course, I've been out on university campuses for a whole year now, encountering the rage of the activists talking about this whole issue. And I was talking about this fake rape crisis, this manufactured notion that our universities are unsafe for young women.
Mm-hmm.
And at the heart of it was this issue, the fact that our universities have gone into this business of adjudicating rape. And my little campus tour, I like to think it's been part of the process of drawing attention to what's going on.
Of course, yeah.
And we had some big wins there. Of course, it led to a free speech inquiry, which led to the university being forced to take measures to not shut down discussion of things they don't like.
Mm-hmm.
Namely, me talking about the fake rape crisis.
Yep.
So that's been a win along the way, but that was never the real issue. The real issue for me is this question of kangaroo courts.
Yes.
What the hell? Why aren't more people talking about this?
That's right.
What are lily-livered universities? I mean, across Australia, where are the lawyers working in our universities who are so nervous of this tiny group of feminist activists to actually speak out and say, this is madness.
Yeah, that's right. And of course, you and I are equally concerned about the rights and justice for people who are actually and really the victims of sexual assault and violence. But that doesn't mean that we have to throw away the rights of the accused in a fair and equal justice system. Bettina, where can people read the judgments? What's your website and YouTube channel?
On that point, these incompetent committees floundering around in these cases, of course, can jeopardize the rights of the victim to get a fair hearing too, because they don't know what they're doing, and they're mucking up the normal investigation that should be going on.
Yep.
So it affects both parties.
Yeah.
Sorry, now if people want to contact me, just Google my name and they'll find my website.
Okay.
And I've got all the latest information up there. And I actually could probably put the judgment on my website. I'll organise that.
Okay, do that. I'll put the links to Bettina Arndt's website in the description beneath this video. You can follow her on YouTube and social media. I'll also put links to the articles she's written in The Australian and Spectator magazine about this case and this judgment. It is good news. And Bettina, thank you for bringing it to us.
Nice to talk to you, Dave.
That's it for this episode of Pellow Talk. Make sure you go to my website as well, davepellow.com, where you can subscribe to newsletters as well as seeing past episodes and articles about this issue and plenty more. And as always, thank you to the people who bring Pellow Talk to you, the Pellow Talk partners, who are the unboycottable sponsors of Pellow Talk. And I'll see you in the comments section.